You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Knockouts and Three Counts. As you can see, as I'm always saying, apparently Kev's mom doesn't love him, but apparently our co-hosts don't love us anymore, because in the studio with me this week, it's just me and Tony Thunder solo.
It's just us. You did the Devin, though. You did the ladies and gentlemen.
Maybe I jacked his shit for a day.
Hop
off.
Oh.
And in the studio, we have Andre Sanders, fresh off his win this past weekend at Motor City Casino. Man, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourselves?
Can't complain too much. You got any social media, anything like that you want to throw out?
Oh, yeah. So definitely follow me at Instagram. That's pretty much the only one I use. Napoleon721, N-A-P-O-L-E-O-N. 721. Sometimes I forget how to spell it. It's not my real name, but, you know, it is what it is.
Hey, man, it works.
Yeah, it does.
What's your social media, man?
As always, man, you can find me on Facebook at Kyle Collison. On Instagram, Instagram and Twitter, you can find me at Detroit Knockout, at Detroit N-O-K-O-U-T. And Tony, what about you, bro?
I'm Tony Thunder everywhere except Twitter. I'm still trying to find a motherfucker who hasn't tweeted ever. But he got my name on there. I don't know how he got my name, but he ain't tweeted since 2013.
You some bitch.
I'm going to find you, fake Tony Thunder.
So now, since we got Andre in the studio with us, man, let's start by talking a little bit about, you know, your fight this past weekend.
Okay.
Pretty decisive win. You got your unanimous decision victory.
Yeah, it feel good. The craziest thing, so it's my first MMA fight. The craziest thing about it is, like, literally, if I used to wrestle in college. Yeah. So, like, it literally felt like a wrestling match where you can hit people. And I was surprised. I threw him in my favorite move was a front headlock, you know, and I threw him in there, and he just, like, fall. And that's usually what I'm used to, people just falling over. I'm like, damn, this is just like wrestling. And but not really, it felt like I was wrestling in high school because, like, he wasn't a good wrestler. But, so I don't know. I love that part about it. Thing about it, I mean, you know, because you go to my gym, I broke my foot. And just right after Christmas. So I was on crutches for like 2 weeks, you know, going into the fight. I'm on crutches. People like, what happened? You're not going to fight anymore? I'm like, well, we'll see, you know, because I had, like 4-5 weeks till the fight was going to come. So, I mean, a lot of people's like, nah, man, you shouldn't fight. Even like a week before the fight, I'm like, yeah, foot's kind of hurting a little bit. I had one dude, he was like, damn, man, you shouldn't fight. That's dumb. I'm like, and now it's getting in my head, like, damn, maybe these people are right. You know, I'm putting a lot of doubt and stuff in my head. But, I mean, I went out there anyway, you know, fought through it, got the dub. So, you know.
What'd you come out to?
One of my favorite songs, it was King's Dead. You know, that one with Kendrick and Future.
Yeah.
Counting about the King's Dead.
That's what's
up. So,
dumb song. I mean, you just hit on one of the things that I think is one of the, you know, hardest things for somebody who's fighting is that, you know, you've got the mental part of the game is always as important as anything physical.
Right,
man. If you got people being all negative leading up to a fight and throwing shit in your head, man, they can really fuck with you.
Because like I heard a few people say, like, damn, man, you're going to lose. I'm like, damn, you're going to say that to me?
Shit, yeah. And the thing is, it doesn't matter how many times you fought. Like, that shit will fuck with
it
you,
do.
Man. Like,
yeah.
Before I competed in October, man, it was funny. Like, I got a real asshole boss, and he was talking all kinds of shit.
He's take a shot.
Yeah, he's an asshole. Before I fought, you know, he freaking's talking about, come watch you get your ass whooped. I said, well, I'm not going to get my ass whooped, but if you really want to find out that bad, there's still time for you to sign up.
you said before your fight?
Before I fought, that we did the Michigan Open Jiu-Jitsu tournament.
Oh, okay.
So, we were talking shit, and he was like, you know, he's like, I think he thought I was joking when he heard that I trained and stuff. Cause I mean, my friends that I work with there know about it, but it's not like something I talk about like that. Cause I've fought 4 times boxing, never fought MMA, but
take another shot.
All right, what is this? Is this the game?
We got this thing.
We've all got little shit that gets said a lot, and it's like it gets frustrating because me and Devin, when we're talking about it, like he's always coming at it from the fan's point of view, and I didn't notice it until we were a few episodes in. I'd always be like, well, being somebody that's fought before or something like that, so anytime
every time he mentioned himself fighting, you take a shot.
Just a little pun these fuckers got.
And every time Devin, that's the big dude you were talking about earlier, every time Devin mentioned that he was at a wrestling event, you take a shot.
Exactly. Okay. So it's just some shit we talk. Yeah. But yeah, dude, like I said, I mean, it's just, it can fuck with your head. But you mentioned, you know, that you had wrestled in college. You know, I knew that you had a wrestling background as soon as the first time I rolled with you. Where'd you wrestle at in college?
Indiana Tech.
Okay. I had a buddy played soccer there.
Yeah. I think they have a pretty good soccer team.
They do.
Yeah.
That's what's up. Did you wrestle all 4 years or?
No, I wrestled 1 year because that it became like a full-time job. Like when I was in high school wrestling, it's because I wanted to. It was fun. When I get to college, and then it's just a completely different thing. Like, literally, you 5 in the morning, you up wrestling, then you go to school with class or whatnot, and then you back at it at night for wrestling practices.
2 days.
Yeah. But not even like, you know how football just do 2 days, like for the summer, it's just 2 days every single day.
That's a grind.
Yeah. And then on a holiday break, you know, everybody go home, enjoy themselves. We had like a week or so, then we went back to school 3 days. Yeah. For a month.
That'd give it to you, bro.
Like one day we was all sitting at the table, like eating after a practice, everybody just like kind of looking down. And then somebody just sat up. They was like, am I the only one who hates this? And everybody kind of agreed. They was like, oh, I hate it too. I thought I was the only one.
Nobody likes that shit. That's why I always laugh when you hear people say, man, I love training. Okay, you might like training, but bro, when you're in a fight camp or something like that, eventually you get to the point.
It's exhausting.
You eventually get to a point where it's like, dude, fuck this.
Right,
I'm
right.
done. I just want to get this fight over with.
Yeah, 100%.
Let's just do this shit. Yeah. But, you know, talking about the wrestling, you know, in your fight, you had a much, much taller opponent, you know, and your wrestling skills really showed because he tried to take sloppy takedown attempts, stuff like that, and your wrestling just was able to handle it. You know, did you see anything from your fight that that was like peeking out to you that you want to work on, anything?
I know at the beginning he had me up against the cage for a big portion of it. Now that I was, because I had sparred a few times in MMA, not enough that I noticed I would get tired, like exhausted, like from using too much wrestling. So with that, I'm like, all right, I had him in the underhook. I'm like, let me just kind of feel this out. But then eventually I just, you know, got the underhook and turn, or the, you know, little underhook and like took him down with it. Yeah. So I guess the thing I want to work on is realizing
your distance and distance, where you're at by the cage.
No, not even that. It's like how much energy to use.
Okay,
like,
not to gas yourself.
Yeah,
well, because the wrestling, man, that's one thing I always noticed. Because I started with straight boxing before I ever did jiu-jitsu or anything. That's one thing I noticed is like the wrestling just wears you.
Yeah,
the fuck
exactly.
Out. I can throw hands with somebody all day because if I get tired, I can move out the way.
Right,
and they're not supposed to be able to grab you. But when you're wrestling and somebody's pinning you up against the cage, shit like that.
I'm the opposite. I can wrestle all day. I throw hands, I get tired.
See, I guess maybe it's just because my win was different because I started with boxing. But boy, once I started doing that wrestling, I was like, son of a bitch.
I'll put it this way. It's different. Like, do you do MMA too?
Not MMA, but okay. I didn't box before and I didn't wrestle. So.
Yeah, so like wrestling, when you're wrestling, yeah, you can build up that tolerance for it. Boxing, you can build up that tolerance for it. But when you mix the two, then it's like, it's different.
It's a total,
you know,
because
you got, it's like your strength and your weakness.
Yeah.
Like, but like even for me, when I was boxing, I was like, if I got tired from boxing, I'll try to hold. My arms would get hella tired. I was, you know, fucking up on both of them. So
what head coach or trainer would you say is the one that influenced you most in your game?
For which part of my game?
Like, wrestling.
For wrestling? My high school coach, his name David Beasley.
Shout out to Coach Beasley.
Yeah. His son, actually. For real, because his son was my wrestling partner when I was like 119 one year, and he was like 135. Then, you know, just like every other kid except for me, he hit his growth spurt, and he became like he grew like 6 inches.
And he's jacking a beanstalk and shit.
Yeah, so and then he started weighing like 175, but he was still my drilling partner, like because he said I was the only one that really, you know, challenge could drill. Yeah. So he taught me pretty much everything I knew, and that kind of just, you know, took it from there. But
so talking about your training, you know, tell us a little bit where you're training out of.
I train out
here at a bunch of different spots.
Yeah. I have a lot of gyms. I box out of what you call it, Canada, at Windsor Amateur Boxing Club, and then I also go to Michigan Top Team, out in Dearborn. I go to MASH out in Redford, and then, you know, if you got MASH, then you go to Warrior Way out in Commerce. I had Planet Fitness. So, you know, that's a cool gym.
They fight that Planet Fitness? <I'm laughs>
they might be fighting.
They're going to hit that alarm on your ass. No, look, alarm. No, you didn't drop too many motherfuckers this time.
No, but I tried to hit mitts in Planet Fitness one time. It's like, nah, son, you intimidated.
You can't even take that water in
there. I know, right?
That's they wouldn't let you.
Well, I heard some about that. What the hell is the story?
Bro, I can't even really
see. No, see, like, this one thing I don't like about Planet Fitness. Since we're talking about them, let me shit on them right quick.
Right.
All right. First of all, they give pizza out and candy out, which is fucked up. That's fucked up. But my thing is, if you call it a judge-free zone, how are you judging people on how they work out?
Right.
Well, dude, I remember the first time I went there, and this is why I hate Planet Fitness. Two reasons I hate it. One, that stupid-ass alarm. If you lift any kind of heavy weight, you're going to grunt to some degree. So you got this stupid fucking alarm that goes off every time I pick the weight up. It's like, well, how the fuck am I supposed to lift anything heavy? Second of all, what's this shit I hear about you can't take a jug of water in there?
Yeah, you can't take a jug of water in there. You can't wear tank tops.
What?
Yeah.
You can wear tank tops, but you can't wear like they can't.
H-shirts, a t-shirt. What they call them?
Is it
like
called
the cutoff shirts or something like
no,
that?
No, it's like, you know how the tank top, the string is like this big?
Yeah.
It can't be that big.
Oh, so they're judging the width of the strap. Like, they're really
good. I know. It's
I know
petty.
They can't be cut too low either, like the t-shirts.
Oh, really?
Oh, my Lord.
Jeez. Yeah, that's what it is.
Plus,
yeah, it
I don't know about you guys, but the few times I've gone to Planet Fitness, it feels like 90% of the motherfuckers in there, all they're doing is taking selfies in the fucking mirror anyway. Like,
and on a bicycle. They all on a bicycle.
Yeah, they ain't lifting no weight, or all they're doing is running on the treadmill.
It attract, like, I will say this about Planet Fitness. It attracts a certain type of people. The people that will buy a membership on January 1st, use it for a few days.
Until March
3rd.
Oh, my God.
And
that's how
they
make
want.
So much exactly. money. That's how they make so much money.
They make bread.
I found out there's a study about Planet Fitness that if you, like, if everybody who was a member of Planet Fitness went in there every day, they wouldn't be able to fit in every gym all the Planet Fitnesses in America.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot. That's how it is a lot of gyms, but Planet Fitness is like, they really bank off.
See, I go outside of MASH, I go to LA Fitness to lift. And like, same thing there. Like, you see all these people come in, and it was a joke. I was joking with a guy the other day when I was getting changed. I was like, dude, I said, what's the over under on how many of these motherfuckers you think are gonna make it to April? Because, dude, there's this one guy that goes in the gym, and oh my God, I wish I'd taken a picture of it. I tell myself every time I see this guy, I'm gonna take a picture. So I'm not hating on anybody who wants to come and work out. I don't give a shit what you wear in there, because I'm in there to do my own thing. But there's one guy in particular. This dude is like big, tall, skinny, lanky dude. He's this big around. This guy is wearing like a legit girl shirt, because the shirt, like, legit, like, comes to, like, maybe here. And then he's got, like, the windbreaker pants on. And then you'll see him go lift weights. And I'm like, can somebody, like...
He do those hip workouts, like, he's getting ready
to get it on for the night. It's weird to look at.
To
and I'm like,
ready.
What are you doing,
put
dog?
Put the 50
like,
pounds on the leg press and start moving it with your hips.
And you're still nothing. Like, I don't get it. But, hey, I digress. But, dude, it's...
like Roddy Piper would say, two spaghettis with a mosquito bite on them.
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's doing it.
Pretty much. And he's got the long hair, but he's got the classic old school wrestler deal where his fucking hairline's like back to here and shit.
Oh, damn. So, what's your favorite place to work on, man? Like, if you could go anywhere to lift weights without getting judged or the alarm coming on, you know what I mean?
I would have to say, I don't have this membership, but it would be Lifetime.
Lifetime's nice, too. I've been there before.
Yeah, so.
They 24 hours, right?
I think so. No, maybe till like 12 or something. I don't know.
I don't know if they got it out here on the East Coast or Midwest, but out in like Cali, Phoenix, Vegas area, there's a place called 24 Hour Fitness.
They got a bunch of those out here too.
Okay. You can go in there any time of day. They give you keys with your membership.
Yeah.
Anytime.
That's how Powerhouse Nova is. That's how actually almost all Powerhouses is.
Oh, that's dope.
Why I got membership at Powerhouse Nova. And I like it. It's cool. I just like Lifetime because they got two basketball gyms. So that's pretty sweet.
See, and that's what got me into LA because I didn't like Planet Fitness. Uh-huh. I needed somewhere I could live because MASH is a little bit far for me. Uh-huh. I've gone into Michigan Top Team a few times because we've had, you know, Manib's a multiple time guest of the show. Mo Shatri's a multiple time guest of the show. We're gonna have Kirkshank soon. You know, I got LA because I work midnights, so sometimes I can't make it to the classes at MASH. So it gives me somewhere to live. But at least at LA, you get the pool, you get the basketball courts, you get the sauna, you get like all that stuff. So at least if I'm going to pay the money, I feel like you're getting your money's worth.
Right.
So that, I mean, at least for me. So we talked about your wrestling background a little bit. Tell me how you got into boxing, man.
Okay. So I did wrestling for a year at Central. I mean, at Indiana Tech. Then I went to Central, looked at the wrestling team, thought about it like, I didn't like Indiana Tech, clearly not gonna like Central, so I'm like, all right, ain't doing that. But they had a grappling club, so I thought it was gonna be like a little wrestling thing, but no, it was actually a MMA club.
Nice.
They called it grappling club because when it was called MMA club, it attracted a bunch of like douchebag people, I guess.
I can see that.
Yeah. So they had to change the name. So I started doing that, right? And learning everything was cool. Then we sparred MMA for the first time, and so I'm cool, you know, I'm throwing punches, and then this dude, he whipped a kick, and I'm like, all right, I'm gonna catch it with my thigh. So he hit it, it hit my thigh, and I was like, time out.
I think it's like that for everybody. The first time you get
if you check a leg kick, you go feel that.
I'm gonna be fine, but shit, wait a minute.
Checking leg kicks is never fun.
It's not,
you don't want to.
If you ain't checking it the right way,
you gotta get out the way of that motherfucker. That's what you want to do.
Yeah. So he did that a few more times, and I was like, you know what? I just like, you know, to punch. You know, I don't like it.
How bad was the bruise?
Oh, it was really bad. It was, it like swelled up a little bit, but you know, so that led to the, just the boxing aspect. Like whenever we were sparring there, I'd be like, all right, no legs, you know?
Right.
So, so I just like the boxing. So then from there, I met a coach out there and I met another coach out there. Like I had like one coach, like he was like really good because he like focused on technique like to a T.
Mm-hmm,
when I first met him, he put like I had been boxing for about a year or two, but he was used to people coming and quitting. So he put me on a basketball line and I just had to walk with like one foot on one side, the other foot on one other side. I had to just walk up and down the line.
And stay in your stance.
Yeah, right. Stay in my stance.
I've done that before.
For like 30 minutes though.
Okay.
For like a week. Just to make sure that I was like serious about it. I'm like, I am. So he taught me everything based off that. But yeah.
Shout out to good coaches. Man.
Yeah.
Shout out to good coaches.
Yeah, it ain't many coaches that'll do something like that. That's
technique.
That's some like Karate Kid type shit.
Yeah.
Like,
That reminded me of a coach in Vegas. When my cousin was out there, we would go to the Mayweather gym every day. And Coach Otis, shout out to Coach Otis. He was very on point with techniques. Like, techniques was his number one thing.
Yeah.
That's what he focused on
most.
That's
key.
Well, I mean, that's one thing I've noticed, you know, being around the game, like, either whether you're talking MMA, whether you're talking about boxing, you can tell the difference between a good coach and a guy who's just running the mill.
Yeah.
Like, you can tell the difference between a guy who's just trying to get you in there and get your money or whatever. Because, like, for me, before I went to MASH, you know, the guy I trained with was – he was good, but, I mean – you could tell that there was some shady shit too, because like we would go, like I said, I used to fight at your weight when I boxed, and I was 16,
take a shot.
I was 16, 17 years old at the time, and I'll never forget. Mind you, I'm in high school, so I'm going to school and then coming here and boxing and sparring, you know, after school. Did this for weeks on end, thinking, hell yeah, we're gonna fight, you know, whatever. Go all the way out to Milford, out to 59 West to fight. Get there, weigh in, do my medicals, do all that shit. And then they go, yeah, you guys can't fight. And I go, well, what do you mean they can't fight? Come to find out, he was never even licensed.
Oh,
and then I found out. And then so my mom was like, yo, take it off his membership.
Visa.
You know, take it off his membership and I'll take care of it. And then it'll be square. Well, then if that wasn't bad enough, mind you, this is my first fight. Come to find out, he wanted me to fight some kid that had already fought in the Golden Gloves three times. I'm like, what the fuck kind of matchup is this shit?
Yeah, he was ready to put the paws on
I'm like, I would have fought him anyway.
He's about to put them Black Panther
like,
paws on
I'm a
on
young,
you.
Dumb kid. I was like, fuck it, I'll do it. And now I look back at it, I'm like, well, damn, I'm glad I didn't take that fight because I hit hard, but he's got more skill than I did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you can tell the difference between somebody who's just, you know, trying to get your money and the difference. Because, like, when I came to MASH, see, when I first started there, you had – Don was still head coach. You had Miles was there. Darren Cruikshank was there.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to Cruikshank.
Justin James was there. Todd was still fighting. The whole gym was just full of killers, man. James Lee was still fighting. It was when he was still in the UFC. I mean, literally, this was the best facility in the state. And you had like a room full of killers. Like, you would go in there to the practices and you're like, shit, every one of these dudes can fight. And you quickly learn the difference between, you know, a gym like where I was and then where I ended up being. So you can tell that difference real quick. So coming off of your last fight, what do you see next? Are you trying to take something again soon? Are you trying to take another boxing fight? Are you trying to stick MMA? You know, what's next for you?
I want to do another MMA fight. I also want to get back into boxing.
Right.
Because I like them both.
Boxing gonna need a new face, man.
Yeah.
Boxing gonna need a new face.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. I was surprised how much I actually liked MMA. Like, cause I've always, every time I spar, MMA is with gloves. But the fact that I really got to wrestle more, and I could be like literally, this is like, I used to really like wrestling, and now I get to wrestle and hit somebody at the same time.
Yeah. Well, for somebody like you, man, it's got to be more of a complete game. You probably got to feel like you can use, you know, more assets of your game.
Exactly. Yeah.
I know wrestling was your number one game, like, being a boxer. What you think about Floyd getting in the cage, man?
I don't think that's so real. I think it's two things. One, it's either him just trying to stay relevant so he can probably sell shirts or some shit.
Right.
Or maybe he's trying to promote, maybe he's trying to get into MMA, like get fighters and shit into it.
I could see that happening.
I could see him doing one fight with Conor. And, hey, y'all can call me crazy, whatever y'all want to. Don't sleep on Floyd. That motherfucker's a genius. He knows how to make money, and I know it's all about the money. But just like Conor caught Jose Aldo slipping.
Okay.
The boy Floyd could catch Conor slipping with a lucky punch. I mean, catch his ass and knock him the fuck out.
And I mean, you're right. With his hand speed and the fact that he's already proven he can knock Conor out with boxing gloves on, it's only going to be
with 10-ounce gloves. We going down to 4-ounce gloves.
But my whole thought with that is Floyd's 50-0. He comes in and does MMA. You lose, even if it doesn't count against your boxing record.
It don't.
That's still a loss.
Yeah. He's 0-1 in MMA.
Exactly.
He's not 50-1.
That's still a loss, though. A loss. No.
Because, all right, look at Inoki and Muhammad Ali.
No, I agree. But what I'm saying is people that don't stop to look at it that way and the people who don't really know anything about fighting or anything like that, all they're going to see is, Floyd lost.
Those are Floyd haters, man. Those are Floyd haters. I mean,
maybe
at the end of the day,
but at the end of the day, a lot of people say, you're not undefeated anymore because you lost.
And that's what he lives for.
Yeah.
100%.
But see, my thing is, like, people as a whole, like, especially, like, majority of people, they hate people that win a lot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They hate the Patriots. They hate LeBron. Well, he don't win a lot, but, you know, they hate greatness. People hate greatness.
No, I agree completely.
You know what I mean?
And that's why,
like, if you become the greatest at what you do, you go get haters.
Oh, yeah.
You go get a lot of people.
That's one thing I noticed. Like, that's the one, like, every time, because we got a podcast too. And when I told,
we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah. I tell my partner, like, once you know we made it, as soon as in the comments you see somebody say our shit sucks,
yeah,
that's how you know that you we made it. You know,
sure.
Because that's what it takes. As soon as you start seeing success, you start seeing people hate on you, and you should actually want it for real.
Yeah. See, because I don't know if you saw the fight, Tony, or if you did, Andre, but see, my first thought when I hear that Floyd's going to go in the cage, I was a huge James Toney fan, especially being that he's from Detroit.
First of all, I'm sorry. I know where you're going with this, James Toney is not Floyd Mayweather. Okay. Conor McGregor is not Randy Couture.
Okay.
Huge difference.
Not really when you think
it. Huge difference.
If you break it down, you got a guy who is a world champ boxer and was a good fighter, plain and simple.
James Toney could not fuck with Floyd Mayweather.
And then you got Randy Couture, who's one of the best ever as far as MMA goes.
One of the best ever. Conor is not on that list.
I'm
in
just,
my opinion,
but what I'm saying just purely from an MMA versus a boxer standpoint,
Connor is not a wrestler by any means, but you'd be stupid to think that Connor's not going to be trying to just train his jiu-jitsu or something just right. enough so that he can take Floyd to the ground. Because, Andre, you can speak about this better than most. One thing I've noticed since I started training jiu-jitsu and MMA coming from a straight boxing background is I can't tell you how many times you'll end up at a party or something and mess around and end up wrestling with somebody. People panic when they get on the ground.
Especially on a back. I agree with that.
You could be the best fighter you want on your feet. Mm. But if somebody don't know what they're doing on the ground and you're able to control that person, they panic.
Right. Yeah.
Because if they don't know how to get up or don't know and they just try to Hulk you off them or whatever and you're able to hold your
ground. That's the thing, though. You got to get Floyd down. He's known for running, you know, quote unquote running. He's known for running. What makes you think Connor go get him down?
Although I would say Floyd's always got a chance in that fight, I don't think that's a smart move. I really don't.
I agree. I mean, if I was Floyd, I'd stay my ass out of the cage, too. I'd stay my ass out of the cage, retire with your 50-0. You done tied with Rocky Marciano. You done tied with Rocky Marciano. And you know he whooped Joe Louis' ass, and Joe Louis is 175 years old when the fight happened. Yeah. Joe Louis is 143 years old.
Oh, no, I feel like if he does take this fight, it brings up some questions. Like, is he like going broke? Like, I really don't know. Is he really need money like that? Like,
no,
for real,
man. Because so that's what still making that's money off question. All them strip clubs.
I think it was a man bet between him and Conor. Like, yeah, you step in my ring, I'll step in yours.
Yeah,
so, like,
and I mean,
if he does go to MMA, it's obvious who he's fighting.
Oh, yeah.
There wouldn't be no point to him fighting anybody else.
It wouldn't
yeah,
be.
Yeah, I think that was a personal man to man agreement with Conor.
I don't believe in that. It's all for Floyd. It's clearly
it's
about
for
money.
Money
it's not
gonna be
about of course, it's for man. Money. Yeah, you know, but that's all. Floyd, I will say this: Floyd is a man of his word. At the end of the day, when Floyd Mayweather says something, it's gonna happen.
That's not true because he also had the fans vote like a long time ago who they wanted to see him fight. And
that's true.
And who it was? It Americano or Manny that they said they wanted?
It was for Manny.
Oh yeah, it was for Manny.
Because
when
they originally did,
he
the
ended up fighting
thing
Manny
him,
though.
Yeah,
years later though.
Yeah, he did. He did. But see, my thing is when he said it was gonna happen, it happened.
He said it was gonna happen then, and it didn't happen.
Yeah.
He told
the fans to vote for
like,
who y'all want to
see
me fight.
When it first came out and they said, who do you want to see me fight? Everybody resoundingly.
Well, asking a fan for opinion and saying you're going to fight somebody.
He even went out on SportsCenter and all that and said he wanted it. And then he went back and said, oh, it's a drug
well,
issue.
Well, no. See, when Manny failed them steroids tests, Floyd didn't want no parts of them because Manny was knocking motherfuckers out. And then when Manny got knocked the fuck out twice, Floyd was like, come on, do you really deserve to fight me now? Then he ended up giving the fans what they wanted. I mean, I'm obviously biased as a Floyd fan.
No, and I'm not saying that I'm not a fan of Floyd either because I've always been a fan of Floyd, even when I boxed. I always liked Floyd from the pure standpoint. I love the science part of it, the fact that that dude just didn't get hit. And he went against every different kind of fighter that you want to talk about, didn't get hit.
Yeah.
But as far as that fight goes, I mean, there's nothing more for me, I think, than just about the money. And if he does do that fight, Floyd's going to want to do it just for the fact of A,
relevancy,
that would be a,
like Andre said.
Well, that would be a hard one to put together too, because you also got to realize that if Floyd's going to put that fight together, he's not going to take that fight unless Dana gives him part of the promotion.
Of course.
Because every fight he's had since he made Mayweather Promotions and all that, he's making a shit ton of money just
of
off the promotion. And if Dana White won't let it go to where it's, you know, co-promoted between UFC and Mayweather Promotions, he ain't going to do it.
Yeah, that brings up a question. Do y'all think that UFC would ever turn to boxing as far as promotions go? Like,
I mean, my thing is, boxing isn't as known or as I can name like the average person. If you go on the street and ask them, can you name any MMA fighters? They can probably give you two or three.
Right.
Ask them to name any boxers. Probably give you one.
True,
but boxers are making way more
that's
money.
What I was, yeah, okay, that's what
MMA way more. That purse, that take home purse. Boy, I'd rather be an unknown rich nigga than to be a broke known nigga. You feel me?
But I mean, you know this from from the wrestling game. Okay, so the thing with MMA is what's hot right now.
Yeah.
You go back to 2001, 2002, back when.
Oh, wait. Since you want to go back to 2001, 2002, I just want to say shout out to Roy Jones Jr. for having his last fight recently.
Hell yeah.
My man's whooped ass.
His last fight, like, ever.
He said he retired, but he said that he would take it pound for pound. And then the next thing he said, he goes, the only way I would consider coming out is if I could fight Anderson Silva.
It's not going to happen. Please don't do it. Roy Jones, please. If by grace of God you hear this, stay your ass at home. You went out on a high note.
Yeah.
Go back to rapping, make another Body Hitters album or some shit, and stay home.
So as we wind down here, you know, you talked about you have a show. Tell us about your podcast. Tell us about what it's out, what it's about, where you can find it, all that good stuff.
Yeah, so my other my podcast is First Amendment Podcast. That's, you know, spell it out, First Amendment Podcast, real simple. Yeah, so just check that out. Instagram is First1st Amendment PC.
And then what are you guys talking about? What's your guys' content?
Literally, it's nothing but everything at the same time. You feel me? Like, it's current events. It's, you know, race issues, relationship issues, you know. We also give, like, a motivational quote at the end.
Okay.
You know, inspire everybody, try to uplift everybody, give them a little value. So, you know, we're trying to bring up the, you know, black community for real, you know, because it's not many.
That's what's up.
Yeah, not many black kids have, like, role models to look up to. So that's pretty much where we're about, trying to, you know, uplift everybody. So, yeah.
What made you guys want to get in the game of that?
So my co-host, we went to high school together. And he had, like, came back, or my sister had came back to visit because she's staying in Cali. And he had came over for her little welcome back / going back home party. And we was just chopping it up. And then he had brought up how he wanted, like, a talk show one day. And I'm like, oh, well, sure. I was just thinking, you know, about this. And then we started doing, like, little filming, like, little mock episodes. And then, you know.
So where all can they find you? You guys, Facebook, Instagram?
So we got a Facebook First Amendment Podcast. We got the YouTube First Amendment Podcast. And then, like I said, Instagram First number 1st Amendment PC. And
what platforms are you guys all available on? Obviously, the Podcast Detroit. Shout out to Podcast Detroit.
Shout out to Podcast Detroit.
Yeah, for real, man.
Yeah, so we on that, and then we created, like, our own SoundCloud, so you can find us specifically easier. So same thing, First Amendment Podcast, and then we're gonna be on iTunes soon.
Cool.
Then along with everything else. So
cool, man. Word, man. We'll definitely plug you guys out on the page and share some of your guys' stuff out too, man.
Okay,
we appreciate you coming in. Hey, but no. A lot of people can't see this on camera. Andre done brought a shooter in the building. Hey, yo, he done got the shooter in the building. Throw out your Instagram and Facebook and shit right quick, man. Let him know the shooter in the building. Tell him who you are, man. Just one time for the one time.
Yeah, talking to Mike.
Wait, it sounded like he just woke up from a nap.
He probably did.
Man, are we that boring, dog?
Random as hell. I was just chilling, you feel me? But no, that's my cousin, though. Word. Shit, you can follow me on Instagram, big_quizzy, Q-U-I-Z-Z-Y, 72. I ain't got no Twitter. Oh, shit. I ain't got no Twitter or Snapchat. So, shit,
word.
Man, just Instagram.
Trying to stay low key.
Hit him on the gram.
Do it for the gram.
Do it for the gram one time.
We'll be back here in a little bit with all the latest in your pro wrestling.
We'll be back with Celine Ericatus, too.
That, too.
The Pally Prince.
I would have gotten to that, but yeah.
I did it for you.
And we're going to talk about everything that was Astronomicon and some of the legends that we're going to be bringing to you on the show real soon.
Word.
Hold up.
Word. All
right.
Oh, there he is. We got a caller on the line.
Hello.
Hello? Can you hear us?
Hey there. Hello there. Yes,
oh, there he is, the Pally Prince.
This is I.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got the Pally Prince, Salim Ericatus, in the building. We got applause that we go add in one day. Before we get right into you know, talking to you, Sal, we wanted to go over this past weekend. We got our hands on a couple of legends, man. I know you. Before I get into this, I want to let you know you got some big shoes to follow because your interview is coming right after this one. Kyle, who do we get to see this weekend?
So we were out at Astronomicon. Shout out to Astronomicon. Shout out to Podcast Detroit for giving us the platform to be there. But we got to have Booker T on the show with us.
You can dig that sucker.
We got to have an interview with him. We got to have
five time
WCW Ooh. Champion. We talked everything Black History Month, his career, all that stuff. And then on Saturday night, we went to the Dirty Dozen and got to hang out with Bruce Pritchard and Eric Bischoff. And nice. Sunday, they dropped in for a 30-minute interview with us on Sunday. So both of those are going to be getting edited. They'll be getting brought to you in shows real soon. I just want to say shout out to all those guys, especially Pritchard Show, because that was the Dirty Dozen was a real cool thing. Like, they didn't hold back. They answered any questions we had. Like, they didn't hold any punches. So that was real cool. And Booker couldn't have been any nicer, dude. We just walked up. Hey, dude, would you be down to come to the show? He did it no problem.
Dig that, sucker.
Yeah, I can definitely dig that. So it was cool, man, because they were, you know, like I said, real chill. Didn't hesitate to be on the show. And for us to be able to have those guys on there being guys that I watched as a kid.
Man.
That was pretty cool. Especially having Bischoff on there being somebody that's from Detroit.
I didn't know that.
How do you know
shit?
That?
He's from Eric Bischoff is from Detroit.
Oh my God, we stumped a wrestling guy. But wow. Yeah, 10 Mile. He's from 10 Mile and Gratiot.
Shout out to Eric Bischoff. Oh shit.
Oh shit.
That's never happened.
There's ghosts in this bitch.
Wardrobe malfunction.
Microphone malfunction. Right, but,
Shout out to Facebook Live for seeing me fix that. But no, we got the Pally Prince on the phone. Emma effing phone. We already cussed. We got Pally Prince on the motherfucking phone with us. Hey, give him all your social medias. Get them all your social medias. Where to find you at?
They can find me on the Pally Prince if you just type in the Pali. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah, if you go on Pally Prince on Twitter, you guys can find me on there, on Instagram as well, and then just search Salim Ali, the Pally Prince, and you'll be able to find me on Facebook as well.
There it is, man. Tell them where you're coming out of right now. Where are you currently wrestling? What's your territory or area, so to speak?
Right now, currently in the Southwest. I'm in Phoenix, but I've wrestled all the way up as far as Edmonton, all the way down past, you know, Tucson, Arizona, so I've covered a lot of miles. But right now, it's mainly in the Southwest. I've been in Arizona, California, more Southern California, anything else. Nice. Trying to get back into Vegas, New Mexico, and hopefully Texas here pretty soon.
Edmonton. I see you were up in Canada, man. Is there any history with you in Canada?
Oh, man. I went up there and trained with Lance Storm, actually, in 2012.
Trained with Lance Storm in 2012?
May 2012.
Now, if I can be serious for a minute.
Yep, it was.
That's pretty dope. Yeah,
he was, man. That training was not easy. I'll tell you, it was. There were days you're looking at yourself and you're like, "Holy crap, what the hell did I do to get up here?" But in the end, it was absolutely worth it, man. Lance is a phenomenal guy. Still keep in touch with him. I like to say I call him a really good friend of mine. Nice. Through the years, but he was incredible as a trainer. Absolutely the best.
What are some of the toughest things you went through with training with Lance Storm?
Well, the drills that we had every day, we'd have about 45 minutes to an hour of just straight warm-up drills. Our class ran for 3 hours, and we had basically the first just complete drills, and we're rotating in and out of the ring. And there was about it started with about 17 of us and ended up with 12, to give you an idea of how tough it was. But we'd rotate in and out of the ring all day long for about an hour and then get in and do basically our, you know, actual physical training, getting in there and whatnot.
Nice.
And then, of course, I had my training regimen after the fact. After training, I'd go work out, do, you know, have my ritual and whatnot. So,
all right. Let's plug in some of the things you got coming up, man. What are your next shows? What is your next events you got going on? I mean, I don't want you to go through your whole calendar. We ain't got all that time, but no. What do you got coming up soon, man?
Well, I definitely appreciate it, man. Just recently, I started up with a company out of Southern California. They're called Venue Wrestling Entertainment. Man, they're incredible, and they're doing great things. They've already done great things. This Friday, I'll actually be there. We have Kika Taro on the show. Super Beetle is going to be there. The last show, I wrestled Funny Bone, and it's nice. Just an amazing atmosphere. The locker room, the crowd, the people. It's just something a little bit different, and Jason's doing a lot of good things with that one, so I got that coming up. Also, Party Hard Wrestling here in Phoenix.
Shout out to Party Hard.
Picking up, which is good. So if you guys haven't heard of them, check them out. They're also another good one. And then also Action Pro Wrestling is another new startup company out here. I'm wrestling with them. So there's a lot of great things going on here in the Southwest. It's just a matter of getting your hands on them and getting there.
Nice.
So you mentioned that you came from Lance Storm School. Tell us a little bit about the benefits of coming from a school like that that's well accredited. You know going there that you're going to get good training. And, I mean, the list of people he's already put out of there in the time that he's been open, I mean, the big one right now, you know, that I've seen lately, you know, you got Rachel Elring coming out of there. Bunch of people coming out of there. So talk a little bit about his school.
Brian Pillman. Pillman Jr. is coming out of there.
Speaking of that, we're hooked up with a promotion out here. He's going to be wrestling on a show here for Metro Pro March 3rd, I believe. Yeah. So we're hooked up. We're going to be doing a live show out here with them real soon. Shout out to Johnny. We'll be having him on the show once it gets a little bit closer to plug that. But, yeah, it's funny you mentioned him.
Yeah, man, there's a lot of great benefits going up. I mean, I began training out here with the IZW school, Impact Zone Wrestling, out here in 2008 under Gallo, John Lyon, and Eric Aderico, and began 2008 and completed training with them early 2010. And then just felt I just needed that little bit more to kind of get there. And in researching, doing all the research, talking to a few people, it was basically Lance was the only avenue to get to. And it was very difficult because I actually gave up 3 of my jobs out here, literally packed up my car and just drove up there and spent 3 months up there.
Damn.
Wasn't easy, but all worth it, man. Like 100%. Everything you get when you go there is 100. You treat like royalty. So.
And so tell us also about like some of the advantages once you get out on the scene coming from a school like Lance's, because I got to imagine
if you can throw that name around is what you he's can saying. Throw that. You can throw, you can that, throw that name around. There's got to be some benefits.
I mean, from everything I've read, I've heard that he's real good about trying to help you guys find bookings, all that good stuff.
He did, actually. I mean, before I even got up there, I got hooked up with a few people because he already knew I had been wrestling, and I sent him a couple videos and whatnot, pictures, and I got hooked up with shows up there in Canada, got to wrestle up there. But just in terms of using that name, hey, you know, I began training out here, but I ended up going to Calgary to train to finish up my training. It definitely gives you that notoriety, you know, that you're serious, you're taking this as serious, no pun intended, with Lance, but you're taking it as serious as you can.
If you could be serious for a moment, what are some of your favorite matches you've had over the course of your career?
Honestly, man, I would say, like I said, I just wrestled Funny Bone, and that was one of my top favorites.
So that would be your quintessential
environment
match
that we were able to put on the match. It was absolutely phenomenal. I was actually getting footage together, so that'll be up on my Facebook here pretty soon.
We're not going to use the word quintessential again on this show. Just wanted to point that out. We'll never use the word quintessential on this show again. It was the word of the day, and it's the word that's dead.
Until Kyle comes back.
Yeah. For the Midwest people and the East Coast people who don't know who Funny Bone is, yo, you have to check this guy out. He's a standout when it comes to his character, his gimmick, what he's doing is huge. And of course, you got to check out the person we have on the line with us, the Pally Prince Salim himself. If you're not checking him out, you know, what are you doing? Didn't know where to go with that. But, no, you said Funny Bone, man. Who else are some of the people you've liked or that you've liked to work with, you know, that you've had in your career?
We had a really cool thing going out here with a promotion called Slam U, and it was something unreal to be a part of, that company. My tag partner and I, Magad Ali, him and I used to freaking tear it up any show we had together out there. Those were always incredible. I can pick any match from that show and that company and still look back on it with fond memories. I mean, I've been in the ring with Val Venus, man, and that was just as a kid looking up and being in that position. It was kind of cool. So I've done a lot of cool things. There's been too many memories to actually go back on with time allocated.
Being a kid, man, I didn't notice how nasty and disgusting wrestling was when I was a kid. I was looking up to a pimp, and I wanted to be a pimp when I was a kid because of The Godfather.
We met him this past weekend as well.
Shout out to Godfather, pimping hoes nationwide.
420 smoke train.
Yeah, roll up a fatty for this pimp daddy. The money shot was Val Venus's finisher. Now, for those who don't know who Val Venus is, his gimmick was a porno star who came out with a towel on that, you know, kind of alluded that he had nothing else on under the towel. And his finisher was called the money shot. For those of you who don't know what that is, just turn on any porno and just fast forward to the end. All right.
That's one way to get a good look at it, guys.
Giggity. The views and opinions expressed by Tony Thunder is not necessarily those of Knockouts Between Couch and Podcast Detroit. Everybody take a shot. All right. You're a liar. You don't love Jesus. All right.
Oh, no.
this is a little story. This may be embarrassing on my end, but I went against the Pally Prince and Ali once at CDC. And I don't speak Spanish, so Sal, what does CDC stand for?
Club Deportivo Colosio.
And what does that mean in Spanish?
It's basically like a fight club. It's like a wrestling club. It translates to fight club, but in Spanish, lucha comes into meaning fight. That's the translation, but it's wrestling. So it's just kind of like a fight club, basically.
Nice. Now, I'm not going to embarrass myself, but if you want to embarrass me, let's go ahead and go through what happened with that match. My partner was Josh Carey, who will be on the show soon. Shout out to Josh Carey. Just to let you all know, I was early in my career. Not too early, but I was early in my career. And I wasn't in the...
You weren't talking like you're early.
See, Sal likes to bring this up me, because I thought we were just talking shit. Now Sal took it to heart because I was talking shit. I said, you know, I'm gonna blow you up in this match. I was excited, you know, I'm gonna blow you up. I can't wait. It's gonna be fun. I'm gonna blow you up in this match, and I'm gonna make sure you're tired. He did that to me. You want to tell him what happened
really
with that, Sal?
I think you're gonna bring this up today. I honestly did not think you were gonna bring this up today, John. But if you want me to go ahead and move forward with it, I will gladly do
Let's
so.
Let's not. No.
Too late now. Cat's out of the bag.
Plain and simple. Tony was he was trying to write a check that his mouth couldn't cash.
Write a check that my ass couldn't cash.
Excuse me. Let me phrase that here. So I was joking with him. I told him, I said, let's just go out there, have fun. Let's make it cool. Let's make it this, whatever. Well, we get to the show. He's still going off. I'm like, okay, well. Mind you, I am about a year and a half removed from the Storm Wrestling Academy from training with Lance. So my cardio was, you know, through the roof at the time in regards to wrestling. And we got into the ring and proceeded to have a match, at which point the finish, Tony decided to change the finish at the end of the match, basically, is what happened.
Oh, God. Okay.
So you're one of them guys. Running power slam. I was supposed to go for the running power slam. But Tony decided to go for the, I'm going to vomit all over the ring.
Damn.
Yeah.
You're blowing chunks, bro?
I didn't blow chunks. It was all water. But, yeah.
There was a little bit of chunk in there. Just a little bit.
But, yeah.
You're killing me, Smalls.
I thought the finish was supposed to be that.
His face, I wish somebody could have caught a picture. Because, you know, again, he was going to go for the cover, and I just saw him come over, cheeks flew like a chipmunk. I'm like, oh, this isn't good. I literally just rolled out of the way, and my partner, Magad Ali, shout out to him if he's listening right now.
Shout out to Ali.
But he was the one that decided to go ahead and take the hit.
And old school boy.
Went ahead and took that finish for us. So.
Yeah. But wait, I do want to say this. Before we hit the curtain, you know, I was telling you, like, hey, I don't feel the best. I didn't already exerted my energy. And Sal, being a professional and a veteran he is, he said, hey, man, if it comes to a point where you need to go home, just say breadbasket and we'll know what to do. And halfway through the match, I was already breadbasket. Ali's still whooping my ass. And I'm breadbasket. And in lucha, for those who don't know, when you're having a tag match, it's always automatically two out of three. No. Was the match two out of three falls, or did it work that way somehow?
I don't recall it being a two out of three falls. It might have been, but I don't recall it being a two out of three falls.
I think it was a two out of three falls, but
fall. I think we went about 15 to 20 minutes. If I haven't forgotten.
Yeah, and the thing was in lucha, when you're having a tag team match, both people on the team have to be eliminated in order for the match to be over. So the first fall, I think you guys won. The first fall you guys won because Josh Carey put me in the corner, and that almost broke you. That shit was fucking hilarious, though. My gimmick is if you guys don't know, my gimmick is a kid. My character is a child who's lost in his imagination because in a childhood's imagination, anything is possible, including defeating the biggest monsters out there. But they're celebrating. Thanks, we're outside the ring upset. Josh Carey puts me in the corner, like literally puts my nose in the corner, and I'm in the corner like a child in timeout. And I look over at Sal. He's got this mean mug on his face, like he's ready to fucking explode. He's like, "Get your ass in here," you know. So we get to it, and prayer basket, and shout out to Ali for pulling that schoolboy and taking it home.
Amazing times, man. That was I really did not think I was going into this. I'm like, I wonder if he's going to bring it up. I think I'll stay away from it just because. But you went right in, man. You just went ahead and laid it down for you.
Hey, man. You know, if you can't take one for yourself, you know, you can't take one for anybody else.
So we talked a little bit.
At the end of the day, we're grown men in tights wrestling each other, man. I mean, come on.
Absolutely.
You can't take each other too. You can't take others seriously, you know.
Right.
So we talked a little bit about your training. We talked a little bit about the companies you're working for. You know, how many years you've been in the game now? And, you know, what are some of your goals here for the near future?
Well, honestly, I started in 2008. 2007 was a pretty rough year for me. I had a lot of personal issues going on. And some way, somehow, 2008, WrestleMania 20. Oh my gosh, WrestleMania 24 in Orlando. I was actually able to make it out after one of the toughest years possible. And I said, if I could make it out here, I could do anything. And I came back with the intent to begin training and start wrestling because I figured if I had made it out to see Mania in person, I was going to be able to actually get in and do this. So 2008, like I said, I started training, did everything under the sun, refereeing, music, production for 2 years, and then got into the wrestling aspect in January 2010. In 2012, went up to Canada, trained there, still in the game, still just got back into it. Really, I took about a year off. I had a baby, which is really, really cool.
Congrats.
Thank you. Amazing.
Shout out to baby Pally.
All the way through and through. Thank you. So it took some time off and, you know, went ahead and got married, had a kid and did that and said, you know what? I have some time. I'm going to get back and give this one last shot. So of course, WWE is the end goal. In my opinion, since the very beginning, I always tell everybody, if your main goal isn't to get into WWE, you know, it's a global company. You know what I mean? It's astronomical what they've done. Not to crap on anybody else or any of the other big companies. I would love to work there too. But at the end of the game, WWE is what everybody should strive for. And that WrestleMania main event is what everybody should strive
Absolutely.
For. So that's the goal. Whether, you know, I get close to it or not, I'm still going to go out there and try.
So speaking of that, Tony mentioned that you'd been in at the Performance Center. If you're able to talk about that at all, I mean, feel free to.
The Performance Center, actually, I hadn't made it down. I was in talks a few years ago to go down there. I got the email and everything, and I don't know what happened, but it just didn't work out the way it was supposed to. So I haven't got down there yet, but hopefully in the near future, I'll have my shot to shine and get down there.
That's what's up. And you mentioned that you were at WrestleMania. I was at the WrestleMania the year before.
Take a shot. Well, Devin, that's Devin's line. Devin was at WrestleMania. Okay. Take
See,
a shot.
I was at
Devin,
WrestleMania.
I'm watching. I know you are.
I was at WrestleMania the year before that one, and I also went down to, because it was here in Detroit, and I was also at WrestleMania this past year.
And so, he's going next year.
Yeah, I'm going this year. So, speaking,
nice, very cool.
Yeah, I mean, it was cool, man. It was just, it was cool to get to go down there, all that kind of stuff. But, being somebody that's in the game now, like what was it like for you now that you look back on that experience, you know, what are some of the things you're real fond of that experience now that you're in the game?
You know, wrestling, a lot of people knock wrestling. A lot of people knock professional wrestling. You hear all the time, oh, you do that fake shit, you know, quote unquote.
Wrestling's not fake!
You look at something like WrestleMania and you see that, not just WrestleMania in general, but just the show. And you invoke reaction from the people around you and from the crowd. And depending on what's going on in front of them, if they react, that means they're reacting. The reaction is real. You know, whether it's a show or not, dude, it doesn't matter what we're doing inside the ring to put on this, you know, to put on the show for you guys. It's more of, you know, the experience of being a part of it, to experience that up and down roller coaster, that emotion, the joy of seeing your favorite wrestler win a championship, or, you know, the shock of seeing Undertaker lose at WrestleMania.
It's
unbelievable
bummer.
When you look at that. You know, that's why I look at it and say wrestling is real.
Absolutely. Telling a story with our bodies. You know, people say wrestling is fake, exactly. But they watch Star Wars and see Vader get his hand cut off and they lose their mind about that. Or they find out that, you know, something happened in a movie that they didn't see coming and they lose their mind about that and go crazy about it. professional wrestling is that to a times 10 level, because we're telling that story with our bodies. We're enduring pain for the satisfaction of getting one off, the money shot.
Well, and I mean, my thing with that, dude, is before I say it, here you go, take a shot. You know, I've fought.
He fought. Take a shot.
I just said, I already told you. See, I was already on top of the ball. See, you're a little late.
And Devin was there.
But, yeah. So I've fought, you know, boxing, that kind of stuff. And it's like, I've been a wrestling fan my entire life before I ever started fighting or anything of the sort. So it's like you always hear, especially as a kid, you always hear, oh, man, you're into that fake shit. And it's so stupid. And, dude, like,
wrestling is real. People is fake.
At the end of the day, bro, I mean, I've always hated the, oh, well, they're not athletes. Dude, get the fuck out of here.
Bullshit. Okay. Sal, are you an athlete?
I am definitely an athlete.
I've always hated that shit, man. And it's like, you know, I think it's cool now with like the way that wrestling's evolved now, as opposed to like if you watch it back from like back in the 80s when Hogan was around.
Yeah.
It's hard to really use that argument of these guys aren't.
It was real back then.
Yeah, like it's hard to really use the argument anymore of, oh, well, they're not athletes. Look, dude. You watch, okay, take NXT for example. You watch any NXT show or watch any of the takeovers and tell me those guys aren't athletes. Yeah. So,
I mean, it's, you brought up something that I want to get into. The progression of wrestling. I noticed that a lot of the old school vets, they hate the way wrestling is going and the whole super kick. Oh no, it's not a finisher anymore. Don't do it. That whole thing, but if you look at the 80s to where wrestling was, in the 90s even to where it is now, Sal, what do you think about the progression of wrestling itself?
You know, this topic comes up in every single podcast, every article that I read, and I look at it basically in one way. It's a buffet. If you want to see Strong Style, you go subscribe to New Japan. If you want to, you know, see the acrobatic, you know, Ring of Honor styles, ROH, you go and subscribe to them and you look at them. You want to watch Takara, whatever you want to watch, it's up to you. The thing about wrestling is wrestling. It's subjective. Depending on what you look at as a fan or as a wrestler in the business, and the progression of it, oh, well, I don't like them doing all these slippy dudes and doing all these finishes. Okay, well, don't watch that match. Don't watch that wrestler. If you're watching a Will Ospreay match, you're going to get that type of wrestling in his match. That's absolutely his style. That's what they pay him to do. If you don't want to see that, go watch, you know, somebody who's more of a strong style. You know, if you look at the Japanese, you look at like an Okada who is still extremely, you know, athletic, but, you know, does more of a strong style. There's many, many, you know, facets of wrestling that you can get into, and people arguing over this, at the end of the day, it's still wrestling. At the end of the day, there's still those matches out there that absolutely you can watch that are going to be, you know, the crazy high flying stuff or the, you know, grounded, you know, more of a brawling feel.
Absolutely. And, you know, we have every pro wrestling guest, I say, that's come on here. We kind of have a list going, you know, it kind of started with me and Sean, and Movado went into deeper detail, and Kyle mentioned, Booker T and Eric Bischoff and Bruce Pritchard kind of went into it a little bit. We have a list of locker room etiquette. And with you being the vet that you are, one of the things we have on there is don't bring your kids or your girlfriend in the locker room. Don't do that. Shout out to Humor Tornado.
Shaking everybody's hand is another one.
Shaking everybody's hand was what Movado touched on. What is something that you would add to the locker room etiquette rules?
Well, if hygiene isn't on there, that'd be the first one, first and foremost.
Oh my God, and that's one that, go with. Hot damn, I'm so glad you said that. And this is totally a sidebar because obviously I haven't done pro wrestling, but I'll never forget it as long as I live. The first jiu-jitsu tournament I ever fought in, this kid that I had to fight, his gi smelled so fucking bad.
He probably did it on purpose.
About made me puke, and I'm like, so how is it fair that I got to fight this motherfucker and his gi smells like shit?
Yeah, he smells like day old cabbage.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't want to forfeit, so I fought him anyway. But then that's the first I caught staph infection because of that asshole.
That's nasty.
That's
I know you don't really have to go into detail about hygiene as far as that being on the list. But is there anything that you experienced as far as hygiene goes, as to why you would put it on the list personally?
Honestly, man, there's been locker rooms that you go into are sometimes, you know, they're vast. You got a lot of amenities and you got all this luxury around you. other times you go in, you're changing in a broom closet.
Yeah.
And if you got 50 guys changing in a broom closet, there's bound to be, you know, some kind of scent, some kind of smell. It's just out of respect. You know what I mean? But going to the one you mentioned, the shake everybody's hand or the shake hands, I look at that one as just as important because you got to respect everybody around you, you know, from the music, the production, doing everything I've done, you know, behind the scenes, we get overlooked. You know, you look at it and those guys are getting overlooked. So going to shake their hands and going to say hello to them, you know, might make their day. All these people walking right by him, but the dude put on your music, you know, he has a cue to hit. And if he doesn't hit that cue, you know, you're going to mess up your entrance or it's not going to be as grand as you want it to be. And you're going to come back screaming at him. But did you pay attention to him when you walked in the door?
Right.
Did you say bye to him, you know, when he left? Because he's just as important to the production team.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff you can go into, you know, in regards to the locker room etiquette. But those two, hygiene and just shaking everybody's hand is being respectful to everybody around you. Everybody that's part of the show.
Not to mention, they could be the one to help you out. You know, yeah. If you got
you
something
never
that you're
know
trying
who's
to get
who
over.
In the locker room. You never know who's who.
You can go ahead, man. I wasn't cutting you off.
I'm looking at the producer.
What we got time left?
What? I just showed a 3-minute
recording. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, okay, Kyle. Cool. You had me thinking we were done.
No, you're all good. No, yeah, I was just saying, yeah. I didn't know if you had any.
All right, we about to hit some rapid questions right quick. Let the people know who Sal is. Pepsi or Coke?
Oh, shit.
Diet Coke.
Diet Coke. McDonald's or Burger King?
Diet Coke. McDonald's.
McDonald's.
Oh, hell.
Here or there?
Unless you're talking about the chicken sandwich, then Burger King chicken sandwich, you can't beat that.
Hey, the 2 for 5, 2 for 5. Hit him with something, Kyle.
Let's see.
WWE guy, or you like New Japan stuff? Or WWE, otherwise?
I watch both. I definitely watch both. I subscribe to New Japan. I've been listening to Don Callis on commentary. That was another question I had for you.
I'm glad you brought that up. You said you trained at Lance's school. Did you train at all with Don Callis out there?
I actually did not get to meet the Halliburton Cowboy himself, though I wish I did. He seems like a very interesting character. Seems like a very cool dude.
And
knows a lot about the business. I'd love to pick his brain.
Any thoughts on him and Scott D'Amore being the new heads over there at Impact?
You know, honestly, anything's possible. You got two of those guys. They're great minds. They have great minds for the business. If they can just get it going and get themselves out of the shitstorm that they've been in, and they can definitely do something with it. There's talent up the wazoo over there. It's just they got to figure out how to
own it.
Business wise, just the business side of things that need to come into place.
And I don't know about you, man, but I think they need to drop that whole Impact name. Like, I think that shit needs to go. I think it needs to be something totally different because that name is kind of.
It turns fans off.
It's kind of been shit all over at this point because they got plenty of talent, one of which, Congo Kong, which we're going to have on the show next week.
Shout out to Congo Kong for being here next week. Chips or popcorn?
I mean, I'm looking at the name. Like, they changed the name to Impact in 2010, right? Wasn't that the big thing when Hogan and Bischoff came in? Mm-hmm. Back at you, that changed the name. I mean, you look at back at TNA, and you can say, oh, the best TNA rivalries. You know, you got certain Styles and Samoa Joe. You got, you know, everything that Jeff Jarrett would put himself into, you know, was TNA from the get-go. When they changed it, I think, is when the downfall began, because they tried rebranding themselves when there wasn't necessarily a need to concede and rebrand themselves, in my opinion.
Or look at it now, where you had Jeff Jarrett. You spoke about Jeff Jarrett. He came back in. They changed it to Global Force, and then he was gone. And now you're back to Impact again. But then they were still doing the green ropes for a little while. And it's like
– they still had the titles for a little while, too.
Yeah, and they are the same titles. All they did was change the Impact. They changed the plate from GWF to GFW to
Impact.
Impact plate. So it's like – I mean, well, that's my
thing. Don't they tape like – sorry to interject, but don't they tape like 3 to 4 weeks in advance?
Well, yeah, which and that's why
horrible.
Like they've got
debuted on Takeover.
That's what I was gonna say. They got EC3 on there that's already been debuted on Takeover, or you know, Lashley, who's openly in talks with WWE now.
They had a episode where Bobby Roode came back for one, I guess, last hurrah or whatever, and they were like, he is the NXT champion. I said, can they do that? Not only can they do that, why are they doing that?
That's like some Eric Bischoff shit.
Another company, right. You know what I mean? That's the business side of things. I don't think they really get. you know, McDonald's doesn't go out there and say, hey, you know, Burger King just made a, you know, a really amazing sandwich. Go check it out. Well, why are you sending me to go see Bobby Roode, who I've been watching, in, you know, for 15 years in TNA?
That you didn't do anything.
You sent me to go watch him at, in NXT. You know what I mean? And now he's on SmackDown. So now I'm going to go switch to that product instead of watching yours.
There you go.
You know, it's just the business side of things, I think, is where Impact or TNA, whatever you want to call them, where it failed.
So I just want to thank you so much for coming on. We're definitely going to have you on again because I enjoyed the conversation when we have more of a all wrestling based episode.
This isn't goodbye. This is to be continued.
Yeah, so long for now. But how about you throw out your social media and
one more time
and let the fans know where they can find you.
Well, first off, thank you to you guys. I really appreciate being on. Really cool. I just got turned on to this. I went ahead and shared it. Hopefully more people are going to be jumping on because this is
get
really
on the bandwagon now, motherfuckers.
So congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations to you guys.
We appreciate
it. Like I said, yeah, you can go find me. Go look for Salim Ali, the Pally Prince, on Facebook. You can look up the Pally Prince on Twitter and Instagram, and I'm on there. You pretty much find out what shows I'm on and, you know, hit me up there for bookings and whatnot.
Go follow him. Like the page. Hit him up for bookings. I'm knocking shit over again.
Yeah, and be on the lookout for and be on the lookout for those interviews we talked about earlier, aforementioned with Booker T, Bruce Pritchard, and
Eric Pritchard.
Eric Bischoff. Tony's lost it. Tony's out the building over here. But thank you for coming on, man. This has been a great episode. Be on the lookout. We'll have the edited version up soon. Peace.
Peace.
All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you. Later.
Later.